said depended on his swordsmanship, and that it never occurred to the man to punch her or gouge her eyes with his offhand. She used his frantic wrestling of the interlocked weapons as a cover to thrust her offhand up and bring her good old knife arcing in toward his neck. She felt the flesh give and viciously ripped it across with a grunt of effort. Her momentum and body weight at that angle tore her free of his wobbling sword, and she went down hard, landing on one knee, barely remembering to keep her blade tip up in guard. There was no answering thrust, for the knife had done its work. The Spanish nobleman seemed very shocked that he'd been bested so brutally and efficiently by a young man with what he had considered only rudimentary swordsmanship. His startled eyes held hers in disbelief until he began to lose consciousness and lurched forward drunkenly. Jez dispassionately watched him drop gurgling to the deck, eyes rolling back in his head, his sword forgotten as he clutched feebly to the ragged slice in his neck. Satisfied he was not getting up again, she backed off from the pooling blood and then turned away and raced onward. She was gone even before he'd bled out, off to find the next man who wanted to die violently this day.
"Bien joué," Donny Blanchetta muttered appreciably from where he watched Jez battle with and ultimately cut down the Espanol fop, who was a reasonably capable swordsman. No doubt they could have gained some ransom from the nobleman's family had she taken him alive, but it was a good test of what this young man could do. Tortuga Jez was all he claimed to be, and then some. He moved like a cat, had the quick wits of a fox, and fought like a fury. What more could a man ask in a frère de sang? He spirited off after Jez, and for a while they fought side by side. There was a sort of exhilaration in killing. Driven by combat nerves and adrenaline, Jez barreled onward, howling like a demon unleashed. That day she won the grudging respect of not just her quartermaster, but her crewmates as well. For the tall and slender, quiet young man they thought of as an Anglais spy became a virtual killing machine. Gone was her girlish reticence about bloodletting and violent death. To hold back was to open oneself to doubts and fears that could cost her a serious injury, if not her life. She still only killed by necessity, for any Spaniard she encountered aboard were completely determined to slay her. But she reveled in the challenge of every grunting, straining, desperate moment. All those years of listening to her father's tavern tales of his exploits on land and sea had whetted her appetite for adventures like this. Never had she felt so powerfully alive as she did aboard the rocking deck of a ship, and the frenzied fighting and intimate danger sang in her blood that she was meant for this life. In the past, she'd longed for such freedom. The endless days and evenings of drudgery on Tortuga faded into lonesome nights where she'd lie awake watching the stars and moon, dreaming of her father's tales of his days aboard the English privateer vessels that he had described so vividly. Growing up with those stories had infused her with a burning desire to experience that same kind of dynamic independence, and leave behind her own narrowly constricted existence. Her frustration with a mixed-race woman's lot in a harbor town had convinced her she had to somehow break free of the confines of her mother's stifling influence and make her own way in the world. There had to be a better place for her than simply becoming a tavern owner and brothel keeper, always a slave to her business, continually flirting and only narrowly avoiding the rough hands and crude remarks of her mother's male clientele. Then handsome and dashing Walter Armitage had come along, and Jez left behind the insular world she knew to follow him to sea and become a pirate. And what a pirate she would be! Piracy meant you were free to travel the world. Piracy meant you were as good as your ability to fight and survive. Piracy didn't have any borders or obey any laws, other than rob or go hungry, kill or be killed. No one cared who she was and what sort of world she left behind, as long as she was able to do her share of the work aboard and become a death-dealing cutthroat when it was necessary. It was a bloody, ruthless, and dissolute way to live, but it was the highest form of rebellion, because nobody was going to tell Jezebel Johnson who or what she could be anymore. Nobody.